Our reading today is Mark's Gospel. If you have your pew Bible, it's on page 1003, and it's Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and it's verses 29 to 39. So page 1003, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went up to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought Jesus to all the people and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out the demons. This is the word of the Lord.
Hi, everyone. There's a story about a parish priest. I think it's true, but I can't be absolutely sure. But there's a story about a parish priest. He's been in his parish for 25 years. And they have a special sort of party for him, having been 25 years in the parish. And there's a leading local politician has been asked to come along. A member of the congregation has been asked to come along to give a little speech. But the politician is running a bit late, so the priest just gets up and gives a few words just off the top of his head, just to kind of give some of his experiences. And he says, you know, you'll understand that the seal of the confessional as such cannot be broken. He said, but my first impression of the parish was from the very first confession that I heard. I can only vaguely hint about the sort of content of that, but when I came here 25 years ago, I thought I'd been assigned to a terrible place. He said, because the first person that came in was a young chap, and he told me how he'd stolen a television set, and when he'd been stopped by the police, he had punched the police officer. And furthermore, he had stolen money from his parents, he embezzled money from his place of business, he'd had an affair with his boss's wife, and he'd taken illegal drugs. He said, I was appalled, but as the days went on, I came to realise that not everybody in the parish was like this, and indeed I'd come to a fine parish full of understanding and loving people. And just as the priest finished his talk, the politician arrived, full of apologies at being late, and he jumped up to make his presentation. And he said, I'll never forget the first day the priest arrived in our parish. He said, in fact, I was the first one's confession that he actually took. Folks, the reason for that is I want to begin by thinking a little bit about priests. And if we move on to the next slide, in Ezekiel 44, we read about these priests called the Levites in Ezekiel 44. And the message from Ezekiel is that some of the priests aren't behaving in the right manner. There are some that are behaving in the right manner. There's some whose lives actually back up the things they say, but there's a whole lot of them that don't, because there's a whole category of these Levite priests in this Old Testament temple who are going up and they're doing the offerings. They're doing all the sort of mechanisms of church, but in their hearts, they're worshipping idols. In their hearts, they're completely far from God. They're worshipping with their lips, but their hearts are far from God. The Lord. And the Lord says something incredible through Ezekiel to these priests. What he says to them is, he says, listen, you can carry on doing the stuff in the temple. He says, that's actually, you can carry on in ministry to the house of the Lord. Do you get the idea? You can carry on doing the sacrifices. You can carry on taking the tithes and offerings. You can carry on doing all that. But he says, the ministry you're doing is to the house of the Lord. It's not to me. Do you get the idea? It's to the house of the Lord, but it's not to me. And then he speaks to these righteous priests that are living life in the right way. And, you know, their hearts back up what they're actually saying and what they're doing. And they're being told, you minister to me. And I just think that must be one of the most challenging passages in the whole of Scripture. That God is saying, you can do the stuff in my temple, but you're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for me. And there's a Chinese evangelist, if we move on to the next slide, a Chinese evangelist called Watchman Nee. And he said this. He says, let us note at the outset that there is little apparent difference between ministry to the house of the Lord and ministry to the Lord himself. You see, that all of the priests are doing the stuff. All of the priests are wearing the robes and, you know, going up and making the sacrifices. They're all doing the stuff, exactly the same stuff. And to the eye of somebody just watching, they'd say, those are some priests doing some priestly type things. But Watchman Nee, he says there's little apparent difference. But to God, the difference was completely, completely visible. That some of those guys are ministering to the house of the Lord, but they're not ministering to me. I find that really, really, really challenging. We talked about the three strands to discipleship, and that's what we're looking at this year. And very simply, these three strands are all about disciples are with Jesus. They like to be with Jesus. They're becoming more like Jesus, and they're doing the things that Jesus did. But you see, if you look at that, and obviously we're talking about God here rather than Jesus, just at this stage in the story of the Bible. But these priests, they're doing the things in the temple, but they're nothing like God, and they're never with God. They're just functioning. They're just doing the stuff, and their hearts aren't behind it. They look like priests. There's little apparent difference, but they're not with God. And folks, here's the dramatic truth when you look at those three things. If you're not with Jesus, if you're not doing the first wee bit, well, nothing you're doing is for him. Does that make sense? If you're not with him, nothing you're doing is for him. Now, this is backed up by Matthew 7, 22 to 23. Jesus speaking, many will say to me on that day of judgment, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What Jesus is saying is, if you're claiming number two and number three, but you're not covering number one, you're not doing it for him. You might be ministering to the house of the Lord, but you're not doing it for him. You're absolutely not doing it for him. I was thinking this week, if we move on to the next slide, I was thinking this week about what ministries do we have as disciples? What are we called to do? And this really impacted me thinking through this stuff, because I have these three ministries, and so do you. If we're a disciple, if we're a person that says we believe in following Jesus, that he's our Lord and our Savior, we've firstly a ministry to the Lord. Do you know that? Your first ministry in life is to the Lord. You know, man's chief end is... Exactly, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's your chief end, to glorify God. And that's what God's saying through this passage. He's saying, you're not doing that for me. You might be doing it, but you're not doing it for me. Because your chief end is not to do the stuff of a priest. Your chief end is to do it for me. Ministry to the Lord, we never really talk about this in church. Our first ministry to the Lord is to worship him. That's our first ministry. That is the greatest priority of a disciple, to worship the Lord. Secondly, we have a ministry to the church. So it's great. I mean, it's really good for me if you're willing to hand out some books at the door, you're willing to put away some chairs, you're willing to get up here and give interviews or read or pray and do all these things. But that's your second role, ministry to the church. And the third one is ministry to the world. And folks, while ministry to the Lord is the biggest priority, ministry to the world is the most urgent one. It's the most urgent one if we believe in heaven and hell and all this stuff that we say we believe. These are our three ministries. Have you realized this in your discipleship? Have you realized that worship is the most important thing that you can do? It's man's chief end. And folks, you know what I think? I think all the activity of busy churches and churches that have 3,000 ministries going on here, every ministry imaginable, much of it isn't for the Lord. If worship isn't the priority of it all, is it your priority? You know, Billy Graham, we all heard of Billy Graham. Hope you have. He had a ministry where it ended up he had a big tent that he could fit 6,000 people in. Absolutely enormous tent. And I think it's bigger even than that one, but it's the only one I could get in Google. All right, big tent, 6,000 people in it. But what Billy Graham used to say was beautiful, because there's an aerial view I once saw of one of these big tents, 6,000 people in them. And right next to it, there's a wee tiny tent. And that tent was the place where people prayed before the big tent got kicked into action. And Billy Graham used to say, the most important thing isn't what happens in the big tent. It's what happens in the little tent. And I used to love that, because for me, what Billy Graham was saying there he's saying that actually the most important ministry is not the ministry to the world. The most important ministry is the ministry to the Lord. And we can see this in Jesus' ministry. Because if you go to the passage that Colin just read to us, what you hear about is that Jesus goes into the synagogue and he casts out a demon out of this guy, and people are just blown away. And then, so that's the synagogue. That's ministry in the synagogue. Secondly, he goes to Simon Peter's house, and he sees that Simon Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and he goes up and he heals her. And, you know, just to keep all my letters right, that's ministry in the sitting room, all right? Ministry in the synagogue, ministry in the sitting room. I know that's a stretch, but anyway, you get the idea. Ministry in the sitting room. But folks, here's the important thing. Those two strands of what Jesus does, I'm sure all of us want to do those things. We want to cast out demons. We want to be able to heal people. But the most important thing is that even in the busyness of Jesus' life, it says in verse 35 that rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place to pray. So his ministry was in the synagogue, churchy bit. It was in the sitting room, outside the church bit. But it was all rooted in ministry in the secret place. Synagogue, sitting room, has to be in the secret place. And if your ministry is not first and foremost to the Lord, you will never be like Jesus is, and you will never do what Jesus does. Look at what Jesus himself says to a church in Revelation 2, verses 2 to 5. This is the church of Ephesus. He says this, I know your works. I know the stuff you do. I know your toil. I know your patient endurance. And I know you can't bear evil. He says, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and that you have not grown weary. So this is all. I know you do great things. Great, great, great things. He says, but this I have against you. You have abandoned your first love. Remember where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come and remove your lampstand. So what he's saying is, I know you're busy. I love that you're busy. But guys, this I have against you. You have forsaken worship. You have forsaken ministry to the Lord. You're ministering to the house of the Lord, but are you ministering to the Lord himself? You know, I found it fascinating. I've probably shared this before. You're not meant to slag off bishops, but he's not our bishop, so I'm going to slag him off namelessly. We were once at a little conference, and a bishop was doing the teaching, and he talked about how he didn't take his Bible on holiday. And I found that shocking, because it was like he was a professional Christian who needed a wee break from God. And I mean, because he was a bishop, of course I stood back and said nothing. But you know, but that's so wrong, isn't it? Because his first ministry is not to the church. He's not taking a break from the church. It's okay to take a break from the church. You can take a break from the church. We all need a break from the church. But a break from the Lord. Our ministry's to Him. He deserves our worship. What about you? Is that your first priority? I'm going to push on here because time is short. But Jesus goes in and He heals this mother-in-law. We have a live photograph of it here. A lady that's, she's bedbound with a fever. She's totally immobile. And Jesus lifts her up. And that's one of the most beautiful phrases in the whole Bible, that He lifts us up. You know, the Bible tells us that we were down in the miry clay and He lifted us up. The whole idea of adult baptism, I think we're going to have hopefully an adult baptism. If you haven't been baptized, do speak to me. We're going to have an adult baptism on Easter Sunday, we hope. And the whole idea of baptism is that you're down and then you get lifted up. That's what Jesus does, and He lifts this lady up. And that's all beautiful, and that's all what Jesus does. But here's what I love. That when He lifts her up, she starts to do something. Does anyone know what she does? Huh? I love the church whisper. Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. It means nothing. Mumble. What is it? She waits. Yes, absolutely. She waits on. She ministers to him. She serves him. And you know, feminists find this really hard because they're sort of like, here we have all these fellas in a room. There's one sick woman. One of the fellas goes up, heals her and goes, all right, get something on there, would you? Yeah, feminists struggle with that. That's not the message, okay? The message is this lady is completely healed. She's completely healed. And she's able to do it. And you know what? It's not that she wants to minister and make dinner for all these men. It's she wants to respond to Jesus. She wants to minister to Him. And this word, diakonia, or whatever you pronounce it, I'll say it in a French accent, I'll convince you all. Diakonia, I think it is. Diakonia. It comes from the word where we get the word deacon. So Titch, that was ordained as presbyter last week, before that he was called an intern deacon. And I am a deacon. And this idea, it's just service. It's just service. And after the temptation of Jesus, the Bible tells us that angels came and ministered to him. It's exactly the same word. They came and deaconed to him. They came and served him. And that's what this lady does. She wants to serve the Savior. She wants to minister to him. I wonder, what about you? Some of you folks have been saved for years. Have you ever got worship the way this woman gets it instantly? As soon as you're healed, you go, I got to do something. I got to respond in some way. Have we done that? We're saved to serve, but some of us are saved and stuck. She ministers. Here's where I want to end up. Sorry, this has been very random stuff. Here we go. I slagged off the feminists. Bishops too. Bishops and feminists. The three ministries of a disciple. So you disciples learning to be with Jesus, learning to be like Jesus, learning to do the things that Jesus did. Here's the three ministries. We are first ministered to by the Lord. Okay? That's what prayer ministry is about for why I invite you folks forward for it. Because I want you to experience ministry by the Lord. He ministers to us. He ministers to us when we open our Bible. He ministers to us when we feel, when we're prayed for, when we are healed, when He gives us revelations of Himself. We are ministered to by Him. And then we, in return, minister to Him. We worship Him. We give Him all our adoration and all our love. We minister to Him. And then thirdly, but only thirdly, we then minister for Him. Out of that place of worship, we then run our Alpha courses. We then run our Good News Club. We then work for IGM. It's out of that place. How well are we ministering to the Lord? Can we stand together? Going to invite the worship guys forward. Folks, there's... Yes, mate, you go for it. Apologies. Still is stand. Folks, you'll remember there's a story of the lady who breaks open the bottle of expensive perfume. You remember that wee bit? She pours it out over Jesus. What do the disciples say? Jesus says that. What do the disciples say? They say this should have been used for the... Should have been used for the poor. What they're saying is, that should have been used in ministry to the world. And what does Jesus say? She's done a beautiful thing to me. Okay? We all want to do things for the world. Let's do them. But let's now really, really, really intentionally minister to the Lord as we stand here. So I'm going to pray. Why don't we just hold our hands out before us? And why don't you just whisper in your with your lips or with your heart just your thanks to Him for reaching down and raising you up. Thank you, Lord.